Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk, and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm going to point out who's with me this time because last time I just went into it's Pete. It's Luke Owen in a different lineup to usual.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm okay. I don't usually have coffee caffeine, that is. I think tea's okay. Past about 8:30 a.m. But I was feeling low on energy, so I had one about half an hour ago. Feel like my heart's going to explode. You seen Crank?
Yes.
Yeah, like the scene where he's in the Chinatown market bit?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you have to have this coffee because of all the jogging that you were doing this morning? And by jogging, I mean actual, like, feet, using your feet to jog down a pavement. Because, listeners, I was walking to work this morning and I was crossing over the bridge and I saw Oliver Davis jogging so slowly may as well have been walking. And he had a lad behind him on a bike. The bike was going so slowly he was nearly falling off of it.
Yeah, so first of all, it wasn't walking. I know this is going to tie in to your big is walking exercise debate your agenda.
And it's been factually proven that I'm right.
Anecdotally proven.
I think factually proven as well.
No. I don't think having a few jabrones email in and agree with you.
And Pete.
Jabrones. So, first of all, I was not walking. I was trotting. That was a noticeable trot. That was a clip-clop cadence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was doing with my feet in that two-minute interval, which is the rest. What I did this morning as part of the... I mean, I'm already doing four training sessions in the gym a week as part of this new program.
Mm-hmm.
And my guy... I've got a guy.
You got a guy.
He says, oh, and it'll be good to see you at about 9 a.m. Wednesday morning for the sprints, the interval sprints.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay. Oh, what? So do we not, you know, do we not do the chest that day? Because that's the chest gym day.
Chest day, mate.
And which is, as everyone knows, the funnest day.
Why is it the funnest day?
To get them boobs.
Is that what it is?
I feel like... that's the most obvious way I can look like a wrestler.
Okay.
Because if I walk around with big, chunky legs
and
don't skip a leg day, no one's going to go, oh, you look like a wrestler. Same with the back. But if I have the big boobs, the big man booby bits, that's what I think in my body dysmorphic head
people
is
might
the
look
most
at you.
Like a wrestler.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's an interesting like look into your psyche, I guess.
Do you think it's more about the pythons?
the biceps?
I don't think I've ever thought about it at all, in all honesty. But now that you're asking me to think about it, yeah, I guess arms seem more visible to me on a day-to-day basis. I don't know how many people, like, I don't think I've ever noticed another man's chest when they're wearing a T-shirt or a suit, but I would have noticed an arm because they wear T-shirts and you see quite a bit of an arm.
Well, when I'm big enough, I will start wearing those vests that come down.
Oh, it's like the
navel. Muscle vests. Yeah. So you will.
Yeah.
You will see my cleavage.
Because even when, like, I've hung out with Justin Sizem, British professional wrestler Justin Sizem, I never even thought then, he's got a big chest because he's a wrestler.
It's got a hot bod.
But I have thought, he's got very big arms.
Mm. Well, you know, when you were a kid, because when I was a kid, teenager, I was obsessed with looking like a wrestler because I wanted to be a wrestler.
Men's chests.
Yeah. I was obsessed with the body of a man. not a particular body, just male physiques in general. Mm-hmm. Loved them.
Yeah.
So I was, I used to do like 150 sit-ups in my room as a 14-year-old.
How's that going to help?
Exactly. I don't know. The internet wasn't really available back then. I was just like trying to, and I thought, all right, and now I need food to fuel that.
Mm-hmm.
4 rounds of peanut butter sandwiches on white bread. That was probably just, if I kept on that.
Yeah.
I'm straight on the train to type 2 diabetes.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. First class ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly, that also supplies you with more peanut butter sandwiches in the carriage for free. So anyway, come back. So I said, we don't work in the gym this day? And he went, no, you do that as well. But in the morning,
what?
You go out for this essentially half hour of running.
Light walking.
Running. And then later on in the day, you do the chest workout.
Double sesh.
I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm too tired. But the idea is you do 6 1-minute sprints. But between those 6-minute sprints, between those 6 times 1-minute sprints, you do 2 minutes of trotting. Like a horse.
And what you're claiming is that I just so happened to only see the trotting bit and I didn't see any of this, let's be honest, anecdotal sprinting.
Statistically, yes, you would have said, because there was more trotting than there was sprinting.
Mm.
And to be honest,
anecdotal sprinting.
Admittedly, when I was doing the sprints near the end, that was closer to trotting than when I started.
What you're saying is I did actually see you sprinting.
I get very tired. A lot quicker than I thought I would. I did a marathon 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And
this is the first time you've run since said marathon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But what I had, my guy was on a bike shouting at me.
Really?
Yeah. Go on, keep it up, brother. Keep it up, brother.
Yeah.
Keep it strong. Finish strong.
Maybe he's just talking to himself trying to stay on that bike because you were going so slow.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep the balance.
Keep it going, brother. Keep it going. You got this.
So yeah, I expected it to be hard, but it's like the cinnamon challenge. Until you do it, I still think I can.
Oh yeah.
Even totally. Though I've seen everyone fail at it.
And I watched it. I remember like when a friend of mine suggested that I do this way back when the cinnamon challenge was an actual thing. And they said to me, oh, we watched this video, you can't do it. And I was like, yeah, you can. At least I certainly could.
Yeah.
Give me that cinnamon right now. And then proceeded to fail. But yeah, I still think if I had another crack at it, I probably could do it.
You think the cinnamon gag reflex is something that can be overcome with training?
Oh, totally, like spice. Like when you're a child and you get given spice, you probably can't really hack all that spice. But you train yourself in order to be able to hack the spice better.
Are you talking about the Class A drug that does the rounds in prison spice?
That's the one, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Kids just can't handle it.
They come from Liverpool.
I was at a wedding on Monday, which is why I wasn't here for the for the Raw review. And one of the gimmicks that they had there was they had a picture of a tree with lots of branches on it and lots of these like pads. And you put your thumb onto the pad so it gets ink on it. And then you press your thumbprint on and then you sign your thing. Sounds like a way to get, fingerprint details and things like that.
Yeah, they're going to swipe all the phones afterwards.
That's what I figured they were going to do. Yeah, like it was some big Mission Impossible style ruse. But one of the groomsmen, his only job was to make sure everyone had done it. So throughout the day, he would walk past going, have you done the fingerprint? Have you done the fingerprint? Done the fingerprint? Which I'm sure he thought was very funny. But he came up to me and said, have you done the fingerprint? And I went, ah, yeah. And he just paused and looked at me and was like, sorry, what? I went, aye. And he just had the most puzzled look on his face. It was like, and I was, he's like, did you do it? And I said, yes, yes, I did do it. Sorry, I is northern for yes.
And when you get asked if you've had your fingerprint taken, you naturally revert to a Liverpudlian accent. Just it's muscle memory.
I feel like I'm on trial again.
Honed over generations.
I was also chatting to a woman there who had just bought a house in central London. I believe it was in Zone 1.
Wow.
Yeah, quite, yeah, pretty. I'd imagine fairly well to do. She was originally from Ireland, but she also had a yah accent. So she would be Irish, but then occasionally go, yah, oh yah.
She's Protestant then. I know someone like that as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But apparently it's because I asked why you have a very upper class English accent. She said, "Oh, it's just like Protestants in mainland Ireland
just have a weird posh."
Yes, yeah, not all of them, but apparently that's quite
really interesting.
Yeah, quite.
I just conflated the two together to be like, I'd imagine she's got this. She's picked up this ya-ya accent because of the people that she has associated herself with.
It's from what I understand, it's because if you're Protestant in Ireland, you're just going to hang out with other Protestants, particularly like, you know, if she's older than us, so two, three decades ago.
I think she was very much younger than us.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you just like, you get, it's kind of like in international schools when some people will have American accents, but they're from Turkey.
Yes.
But because they went to school where a lot of the teachers were American.
You and I know someone who was from Greece who had a very thick American accent.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, should we crack on with the show? And then we will have some more Super Chat debates in the outro portion of the show. It's everyone's favourite debate at the moment. Everyone's been weighing in on it.
God. Are we going to put a pin on it?
Yeah, well, today,
is this the end?
Today's the end of the poll. I've been frantically scrolling through Twitter because Andy didn't send me a link to the tweet. And which I thought he had done. So I'm scrolling through to try and find it again. But anyway, we'll have the final results of the poll and the last bit of feedback, and then we will crack on with just normal chat stuff. But for now, here is us talking about the confusing Roman Reigns storyline. Here's the show.
So, Roman Reigns in this excellent thumbnail looks confused.
Yes.
I think this is the extreme end of Roman's acting. This is sort of a headshot that he can send out to places.
Oh, right, to play like confused man number two.
Yeah. Because I don't know what's happened to Seth and Roman this week, but their range has just been flattened
out. Roman range?
Yeah, they haven't got Roman range on them. But it is another performance. I thought he's at the end of last week's SmackDown, where this whole thing really began, a whole, 9 days out
from
SummerSlam.
7 days ago.
Roman had a piece of set pushed on him, and he was
fine.
He sort of acted a bit shooken up. Mm-hmm. Shooken up.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
you
his
liked
performance
it, yeah,
there.
You liked
yeah.
it, yeah.
But then, like, this, it's maybe it's more the storyline, not Roman himself. Let's go through it. Let's try and unpack this together. So first off, at the start of the night, they have a recap of what happened on Raw, which was where Roman's car was hit by another car and then it drove off.
Yes. Now, this, in the montage of clips, had a camera on the car that hit Roman's car. And I was like, bloody hell, this company. Such a goofy thing to do. Like, no other company would think to do that. But with Kevin Dunn's 20,000 cuts, death by 10,000 cuts that he likes to do with his editing, of course they did that. And then, because I didn't watch Raw, I was at a wedding, I was listening to the Raw review from Wrestle Ramble, which would be the only review I'd want to listen to that's not called Going in Raw. And you said that, and Pete, so you eloquently said, oh, they didn't have a camera on the car, which is really good. They learned from last week's mistake.
We praise them for restraint in that it was a really good edit, how they cut together, here's what's happening now, here's a car crash that we must have filmed earlier on. They only had two shots, and they were edited together rather seamlessly. Mm. But of course, in the recap package, it's shot-a-mania.
Oh, yeah.
Where here's a camera. And like you said, here's a camera on the car. And just like last week's episode of SmackDown, where there's a camera on the rigging that fell onto Roman, it takes you out of it.
Yeah.
So now you're asking, well, if there's a camera there, then surely the production department know who it is. And, like, you just shouldn't be asking these questions.
No, you shouldn't.
Because that is a logic hole.
Yeah.
And even if this was a brilliant story, and it is a pretty intriguing story, but I wouldn't say it's perfect, even then, this would be a logic hole that would be hard to ignore, and would still call it out.
You compare that to the ending of Survivor Series 1999, where Steve Austin got run down. Compare the two together, and it's night and day.
Mm.
It's night and day. One of those looks very, very real, and one of those is very, very memorable. The other one looks hokey as it, and we just find ourselves asking more questions than we need to.
So anyway, that's just WWE's way, though. It is what it is, unfortunately. And then after that, we get a backstage interview with Kayla Braxton, and Roman is like, in quite a good performance, I would say.
I thought it was really good. Yeah, yeah.
Especially because he apologised to Samoa Joe.
Yeah, that was cool, yeah.
He said, I know it wasn't you, obviously. I didn't like the line, the attack is affecting his life. Cool, good line. And his ability to provide for his family. I'm just like, why is it always about that? Yeah,
it's a Vince-ism.
But then he says, I'm going to get answers tonight.
Yeah.
And then later on in the show, right in the main event.
A little bit of a shout out to Kayla Braxton of her great interviewing skills. Because her first question was about, you know, who attacked you. Her follow-up question was, do you know who attacked you? You know, just investigative journalism at its finest.
Well, sometimes you just got to keep asking those questions.
Question.
But who was it?
And
the main event was the New Day versus Daniel Bryan and Rowan in a tag match.
Yeah.
And they've got great chemistry together.
Haven't they just? Yeah.
We'll talk about the actual match when we do the full review. But at the end, so it ends in a DQ. Rowan uses the steel steps. And Brian and Rowan start to beat down the New Day. Then it cuts backstage to Roman Reigns. And he walks into the locker room and he's like, everyone out. Not you, buddy.
Yeah.
And it's Buddy Murphy.
Oh my God, Buddy Murphy made it to television.
I know. And not just in the background of a shot. Because
he did just step forward and go like, I think you're brilliant, Shane. I love you.
Because a lot of fan speculation from last week, Buddy Murphy could be seen in that SmackDown attack angle on Roman at the end of last week's show.
Which got me very, very excited because I was like, man, what a heck of a push. I just assumed it'd be someone who's already established, but actually, yeah, let's use this storyline to create a new star. He could easily do it. He's not being used at the moment, so maybe let's make a new star out of it.
But instead,
it's Rowan.
And yeah. So Roman sort of like, in a really awesome response, Buddy Murphy just stands up and says, I do know it was, but I'm not going to tell you.
Well, he said, even if I knew who it was, I wouldn't tell you anyway.
Right.
But Roman's like, okay, yeah, so you do know then. And then just starts throwing him around like he's a little rag doll. And then like pushes him up against the wall with like a, who was it? And he says, it was Rowan.
Mm.
I didn't see Daniel Bryan, but it was Rowan.
And Roman Reigns here, I thought was really quite cool. And I wish this is what they did with him before, as like kind of this badass.
Mm-hmm.
This was good badass Reigns. But then it cuts to the ring, where Daniel Bryan and Rowan are just standing there.
Watching the screen.
Last time we saw them, they were beating up the New Day.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, that's fine. That's been resolved. But they're just standing there, quite gormlessly, very like in a line, power watching Roman Reigns do this. And Brian's expression is one of confusion, maybe guilt. Very hard to read, I would say. You could interpret his facial expression many ways.
Yeah.
Rowan's, however, was just like, and what, son?
Yeah.
And he was like, really, like, quite confidently stood up tall and just staring defiantly.
Mm. Well, I say in my review that it was Buddy Murphy says it was Rowan. I said it was, and it was, as reported, Daniel Bryan and Rowan. Well, it was Rowan, although Brian didn't look that surprised when he heard the news.
But he didn't look like he knew what was happening either.
No, but he also didn't act to be like, what? It was you. Like, look at his friend and say, like, was it you? He literally just sort of wasn't really looking at anything.
Yeah. So, I didn't hate this.
No?
I actually quite liked it.
Thumbs up from me.
I thought it was a very intriguing way to end the show because it's not like, ugh, this is just too stupid now. It's like, oh, okay, it could be Rowan. It could just be Rowan acting on his own accord. It could actually be Brian masterminding this whole situation. I just, you know, go off on a tangent. Luke Harper's coming back. He's working for The Fiend. Rowan's going to join him. Brian and Roman and Samoa Joe have to team up in a super combo on a 3-on-3. But this is a good angle to have 2 weeks ago. This is not a go-home angle to something that's going to set up a match this Sunday. If they book on Twitter on Friday afternoon Brian versus Roman Reigns, because it's come out that Brian's actually the one behind it, which is what I'm scared they're going to do, that is really wasting a lot of potential.
I think if they do announce a match for SummerSlam, because they can't announce one now on TV. We're out of TV time. SmackDown's over. It's SummerSlam this coming Sunday. Unless you did something on TakeOver, the only way you can do this now is if you announce it via social media, which, let's be honest, WWE think is a good thing to do. I personally think it's a terrible way to book television, but, you know, regardless. And I don't think it'll be Roman versus Brian. I think they'll book Roman versus Rowan. And they'll just have a very short match where Roman wins. And I think this because in the build, during the match, the New Day versus Planeteers match, the commentators did mention on several occasions, I don't know why I didn't pick up on this until afterwards, they kept saying, talking about how big Rowan is, how he's not been pinned or submitted since he came back, how he's not been this, how he's not been that. And I thought, oh, it's so Roman can beat him. It's so, yeah, Roman can give him a good fist in.
No, it's the claw. I'm doing
Claws. I thought you were doing the cock. The Roman's going to cock you.
Yeah.
And he's going to give him a Superman punch and win. And then he'll be the one to chop down Big Redwood.
Mm.
So I think it'll likely be Roman versus Rowan, if it's anything.
Well, who else are we missing here?
Samoa Joe.
Who does Roman Reigns and Rowan have in common?
Who does Samoa Joe and Roman...
Maybe... Can you smell?
Oh, the Rock.
Hobbs and Shaw. Roman Reigns was in Hobbs and Shaw. Rowan had a WrestleMania match against The Rock. That was The Rock's last in-ring match.
I see where you're going with that. You're pulling into speculation station again, and I like it. I like the way your mind goes.
I'm just thinking... Well, what, look. I don't think... I'm worried that Rowan is going to get a big push out of this.
Well, of course he is. You've seen the size of him.
Yeah, but it's just, it's baffling. Look, I don't dislike Rowan, but he is nowhere near as good as Luke Harper.
No.
And just to look at the Wyatt family faction and think Rowan's the money star there, yeah, out of the original lineup, which seems to be what keeps happening.
Yeah, he was the tallest one. Until Braun stepped in, the Braun got monster push.
Yeah, it's, to tie this up, it's a very intriguing storyline, and I do like it. I just, if the aim is to have a SummerSlam match out of it, I think they rushed it really quite badly into the last 7-8 days. But maybe this is a larger storyline that plays out over the next couple of months, and it doesn't have an installment at SummerSlam.
It just seems crazy to me that we're going to have a SummerSlam without a Roman Reigns match, which it just seems crazy, really. I'd also say, I mean, we said this last week as well, that this felt like it needed to be a longer storyline, and we could have had more weeks of the investigation into who did what and where happened when. And it feels like 7 days out, they have sort of blown their load because, well, we've got SummerSlam this weekend, and we may do something there. Because there's 10 matches announced, and a few of the speculated matches that were going to happen just happened on TV instead. So... maybe they're going to add a Roman-Rowan match. Maybe they'll add a Roman-Brian match. Or as you say, maybe they'll add a tag match.
Or
The Rock, you know, and Rock and the Six-Man. I just think either way, it's almost too late in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can't see the good way to get this going by Sunday.
No.
God, if it's a pre-show setup. I mean, look, one thing WWE seem to have done this year, for SummerSlam in particular, is big last-minute sells. One of the big selling points of SummerSlam this year is Goldberg's return happened in the last possible segment of Raw before SummerSlam.
It came back a couple of months ago, though.
Yep. That's we don't talk about that one, though, do we?
Oh, okay, sorry.
Did that happen? I can't remember.
It was a fever dream.
I've just got a headache and I can't remember.
I think it was too hot, that's why we can't remember.
And maybe a crazy part of this is let's set it up, announce it all as a hot kickoff show angle, and see how many network subscribers come in off of
that's
that.
That's actually not the worst shout, yeah.
Which is not, it'd be a very interesting way to really do a last minute sell for conversions of pre-show into the network.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that one. I didn't consider the pre-shows. Actually, that's a really good shout.
So we'll see what happens.
They'll tease a Roman Rowan confrontation, or Daniel Bryan will announce his thoughts on the situation.
But either way, I still think it's a bit rushed.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We've got to give thanks also to our pledge hammers on Patreon, $25 a month or more. So thank you, Ken. I'm not eligible for a case of craft beer. De Leon.
Yeah, nice. Adam and the Anthony Bergeron.
Yeah,
yes, nice.
Nathan for you, Ford.
Oh, hey. Little drummer boy, Scott Drummond.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby, there he is.
Andy Datson's number one fan, Tomo.
Tomo. Kratos's forgotten son, Chris Petrell.
Whoa, yes. Disrespectfully classy, Marky Blassie.
Oh, yes.
Blassie? I would say Blassie.
That's because you're posh.
I don't say classy. I say classy, Blassie.
You say bath.
I say bath.
Grass?
Grass.
Yeah, posh.
Garage. It's all this garage music.
I'm Madman.
Yes. Our new favourite name. Rob Steiner Recliner.
Yes, nice. I was hoping you could take this one because it might mean something to you now.
Today's Tom Sawyer, Meme Pride.
Ba-dum,
it's a Rush song.
Yes. Yeah, you're massively into Rush now, aren't you? Yo, Adrian! Rocky!
Hey.
Yeah.
And Bad Connection, Thomas Lagden.
Yeah, whoa. Tom, nice one, mate. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog.
Let's see what you guys think on the super chat.
We've got quite a lot already, which is great. People are very active. First one comes in from the headmaster, Jonathan Headman. I had to think of his name there. Do you think Yellow Jacket is still alive in the Microverse? Sorry, that was meant for the screen stalking stream. Do you think that WWE at Survivor Series is going to be the Samoans versus Team Earth and two others? If so, who?
Ooh.
Oh, of course, the Usos. We forgot to mention those within this potential unit.
So Roman, Joe, Usos. You got four there. Versus Brian, Rowan, Fiend and Harper, and Braun Strowman.
Well, I was going to say Heavy Machinery, so maybe your answer's better than mine.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that's a Survivor Series feud, though.
Tom Guran says, Brian versus Roman. This must mean New Day will split.
Big E heel turn.
Big E's turning heel.
He's got to. We got one from KJ that says, so much for that Buddy Murphy main event push.
Yeah, I thought he made it look a bit of a chump, in
he
all fairness.
He got pushed.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good joke.
Hey, he's getting the rub. He's getting the good rub there of his face into a wall.
Yeah. Roman Reigns actually mentioned this on Twitter, actually, because someone said, like, tweeted him to say, hey, man, actually, but have you seen the size of Buddy Murphy's arms? Like, he looks like he could be a main eventer. And Roman essentially tweeted back going, like, gotta have more than arms, mate.
Gotta have greasy hair.
We've got one from Tim Arndt, who says, after flipping over the announcer's table, I know that Shane McMahon has more muscle than the Usos have DUIs.
I don't know if that's... What, so the Usos have how many? Between them, three?
Three.
Yeah. So Shane has three muscles?
Three more muscles. He's got
right.
Six muscles.
Another from Tim Arndt that says, Roman was wearing the best shirt I've ever seen on WWE TV last night.
I mean, it's in Rowan rather than Roman.
Rowan.
Yeah. Obscure metal band, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So probably from Scandinavia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I do get a kick out of a lot of people loving Rowan's shirt choices.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. They all look the same to me.
They don't pop me as much as Shayna Baszler and Killian Dane. Killian Dane returning to NXT in a Tool t-shirt. I was like, well, he's not the best wrestler ever.
When someone wears a Weezer shirt, that's when I'll take notice.
Graham Scrivener, not Scrivener, that I was saying before, says, hello guys, hope you're all right watching SmackDown then G1 Climax later. Also, is New Japan hotter than the three other companies of WWE, Impact, and Ring of Honor?
They're not hotter than WWE, I would say.
I wouldn't say they're hotter than AEW either.
No.
I mean, like, AEW just sold out last Friday, their first TV taping.
Yeah.
I think, critically...
They always are.
The G1 is putting on, it's probably the best tournament ever again.
Yeah, and beating last year's.
Yeah, and in that circle, that small circle, New Japan do have the most momentum, but overall, no.
No. I think they do.
And then this will just be the last one before we get on with the rest of the show. We've got Mickey the Time Lord said, morning, gents, here from the US, and I love what you're doing, and you both have relaxing voices.
Ah.
Thank you!
We thought of the same joke.
I know, yeah.
Jinx. Right, so SmackDown started with Charlotte coming out, who is now referred to, even by the babyface commentators, as the Queen of All Eras.
Oh, God, a terrible name that is.
Which, look, that's a good heel name because it makes you have that response. That was heat towards Charlotte. So only let Corey Graves say it.
Yes. Yeah. If she calls herself that. Like, Shane McMahon calls himself the best in the world, but the babyface commentator doesn't say, it's the best in the world, Shane McMahon.
Yeah, and look, the whole story of this match is it's Trish. Like, this All Eras thing hasn't been decided yet. The babyface commentator should be saying, well, I'd challenge that because we've still got Trish Stratus out there. She still looks good in the ring. Yada, yada, yada. Nonsense. Mm. So it's a classic thing of it minimizes the intended heel heat because the commentators condone it or the referee's looking right at it. It doesn't give the same reaction.
Yeah, but she came out to cut a... fairly decent promo. She said that everyone sees greatness whenever she steps in the ring. She puts over Trish Stratus, but says that she's only come back because she's jealous of Flair. And to demonstrate that, here's a video package of my highlights. And I was like, hey, this is clearly a video package that she has made. So I am totally on board with this. And then the video package shows lots of crowds and cheerings and WrestleManias and whatnot. And then it's lots of shots of Trish, and the commentator's going like, Trish Stratus is great. She's this, that, blah, blah, doo, ba, doo, doo. And then like, hey, Trish. And Charlotte's in the ring looking TO'd. And it was pretty good, actually. And then Trish comes out to essentially say, yeah, I play that video package.
Mm.
I liked all of that.
I liked all of Charlotte's stuff. She's such a good promo. I'm not into Trish Stratus at all.
I was going to say, you notice I left a pause when I at that point there to say I liked this bit.
Yeah.
And then Trish had to cut a promo, which was less good.
I didn't even like the video promo reveal. I thought it was a bit...
I
thought it was overproduced. The... Yeah,
WWE overproduced
something. I know, right? I know. What a shock. But Trish walks out and she just cuts. You know, Natalia looks like Al Pacino. Yeah, at the sort of charisma levels Trish is putting out. It's, yeah, it's...
Well, okay.
I don't know what's happened. She used to...
Oh, yeah, and I think, actually, and this might, you know, tickle some audience members, I think her bad acting rubbed off on Charlotte as well, because she's there talking about, like, how it's my dream to have a match with you and to prove to the WWE Universe and deep-dee-dee-dee-doo. And then Charlotte, in as monotone and as flat a way as possible, goes, "Welcome to your nightmare, Trish."
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and then walked away, and I was like, not the hottest go-home angle I've ever seen. Although it was hotter than the go-home angle for Randy and Kofi.
Hey! We'll come on to that. Trish did slap her.
She did.
Yeah. And then Flair just walked away cockily. It's like, I don't know what WWE are doing to these pretty good to fantastic promos in the noughties, in that sort of Attitude Era. Kurt Angle's another one, where he went, and like, you know, even in Impact, he was still a good promo. On the indies, he was a good promo. You put him in WWE when he comes back, just terrible.
Yeah. Well, you're asking them to be actors.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've seen the movies that Kurt Angle's made. The man's not an actor. But I would say, actually, in defense of this segment and defense of this feud, this is a feud that isn't really built around story. This is built around, like, a quote-unquote dream match. It's an era versus an era match. So you don't really need a whole lot of story. It's the mistake they made with Rock Hogan at WrestleMania X8. Mm. All you needed to say was, it's The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. You're like, okay, cool. Well, we've got to see that match. Got to buy a ticket to see that. And then they muddied the waters by trying to do, like, storylines where he tries to run him over and all this sort of stuff. It's Brett Vince. You overcomplicate it. You over-egg the pudding. Here, you just need to say, this is the biggest star of this current generation versus the biggest star of the previous generation, and they're going to collide.
Do you think it's going to turn into a tag match by SummerSlam? Remember they announced Trish versus Alexa Bliss exact same style for Evolution last year.
Which was never an intended match.
After this, speaking of Legends matches and sort of nostalgic, rather arbitrary returns, we get a recap of Dolph Ziggler and Goldberg and all the stuff that happened on Raw. And then Goldberg's music starts.
Yeah.
And how they should have done, in my opinion, on Raw the previous night, they cut backstage. There's a bunch of guards around the locker room door. They knock on the door. It's Dolph Ziggler.
See, I agree with you to a point, but for me, they shot their load early. Because they announced that Dolph Ziggler was having a match next.
Ah.
And then on the door, it had Dolph Ziggler's name.
Oh, I didn't even register that.
So when it said, like, oh, Dolph's got a match coming on next, and then the music hit, I was like, okay, so it's Dolph trolling then.
This worked me very well. And I don't know how I didn't see it coming because of those very obvious things you just said.
Yeah.
And also, it used to be Ziggler's gimmick all the time. Yeah. But he came out with beautiful hair.
Oh, his hair at the moment is... it's tremendous.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Straight and blonde. Yeah, really, really pretty. He's a pretty guy. And then Dolph comes out for a match against Ray, but it never really gets started because Dolph hits the most devastating super kick of all time.
Mm.
And Ray just doubles over and can't move.
Yeah, and then he sort of beats him up on the outside and then gets in the ring to say that he's just ended a legend. He's going to do the same to Goldberg at SummerSlam, and then Prince Ali, handsome as he, runs down to make the save. And then they had a match. And this might have been my most irritable thing on this episode of SmackDown, actually. I wasn't the biggest fan of this show, of this episode. But I didn't think it was a great episode overall anyway. But as a go-home show for SummerSlam, I thought it was a bit of an epic fail.
Yeah.
This in particular, though, really, really wound me up. Because since Ali made his return, or has been making his return with all of his promo packages, they have been building and building and building, talking about him going back into that WWE Championship picture. Randy Orton keeps mentioning his name, being like, he should be in your position, but he's not because of me. Almost teasing an Ali versus Orton feud that can happen down the line. They've been building Ali. He's been doing these amazing, amazing promos. He then started a feud with Shinsuke Nakamura and pinned Shinsuke Nakamura last week. I didn't like the fact that they played it up as a shock victory. It should have been more like, well, no, of course I won. Look at me. And that was then going to lead into an IC title picture. So why the hell just beat him now? I get that you want to make Dolph look strong because he's got the big marquee match at SummerSlam. I get that. And it totally makes sense to give Dolph a win because Lord knows he bloody needs them. But why sacrifice Ali for it? Why do all of this months and months of work and then just have him lose on an episode of TV in a meaningless match?
Yeah, yeah. They had, Ray was beaten up. Ali runs down for the defense. Straight to ad break. So the large portion of this match comes in the sort of split screen ad break thing. And it comes back. Ali gets one move, but Dolph wins in the end. So it doesn't do anything for Ali at all.
Nope.
Arguably does call him off somewhat. And I mean, I'm just Pritchard-ing it here. I reckon in their heads they think, well, Dolph's facing Goldberg. This is good for Ali.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's a way to Pritchard it, I suppose.
Which
yeah.
I, you know, completely disagree with. There's 100 people, literally, yeah. the amount of people on WWE's roster that could have just given Dolph a good victory.
You've got a decent Apollo Crews back there who could have easily filled in this role and wouldn't have had the damage then that's done to Ali. For me, I thought it was a terrible, terrible decision to make. There was also a moment in there as well where he does his like roll through X Factor that he does. And they made mention to the fact that it's a nod to X-Pac, who's one of Ali's favorite wrestlers. And I wondered if this was them taking a shot at Taz. Because you see all the stuff with Taz on Twitter?
Yeah, it was someone took his...
Well, a Dijak asked on Twitter, I want to use the Taz mission as a finisher. Is that okay? And Taz went on this bizarre little rant being like, why'd you ask me on the Twitter machine? Why'd you come ask me in poison? And made this big deal out of it. And X-Pac just like... Mate, it's not really your move. None of these are moves. And then, Ali was just like, mate, take the move. I think it's great.
Yeah, he's Taz is a prickly fellow.
Just.
But then we got a run of which was pretty much, here's what happened on Raw.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We got the Reigns car crash recap. We got a Seth versus Brock recap of that lame angle.
It was 30 minutes into the show. We had three recaps of Raw.
Then we got the Reigns interview with Kayla Braxton that we've already talked about. Then we've got the Harley Race video package.
Which is lovely.
Which was lovely. I just... WWE so clearly thinks that they have two distinct audiences for Raw and SmackDown. That they are the same people. It's a Venn diagram.
There's just less of them.
Yeah. And it's like when they would replay Firefly Funhouse on SmackDown, it's and say, oh, it's a new installment of this. Well, it's new to SmackDown, but really, we all watched it on Raw. It's annoying. Mm. It makes more sense when they move to Fox, but...
Yeah. There was a... on the Harley Race video package, I don't know if this is the case, but these were all old interviews. Like, they're all from the Austin DVD. You could tell by John Cena's T-shirt that it was an old interview. But some of them I thought might have been relatively new because there was a story a couple of years ago that WWE just filmed a lot of interviews with legends within the business about wrestlers who are going to pass in years to come. Mm. And essentially just like talk about their career and then we can use it in memoriam videos when the time comes. I just wondered if you had those from there. Because the Jerry Lawler one felt like it was.
Yeah, it probably is. That's standard practice, really, with most media organisations.
Oh, yeah.
Like the BBC have just a rolling obituary tape for Prince Philip. So it's light, it's ready to go as soon as he eventually passes.
They had a video already, always ready to go. This is a story that I heard firsthand. Always had a video ready to go and a contingency plan in place should Bruce Forsyth die during Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Ember Moon versus Natalya. An interesting piece of matchmaking. They're both the number one contenders for their respective brands' titles.
Interesting in that neither of them can lose.
Yeah, well, you know, that's fine. I'm not against it. Just have a DQ finish.
I don't know, man. Why would you book yourself into this corner?
I think it can work. On paper, I think that's a good... That's a good draw for a go-home show. Here's the two people. Just come up with a creative finish. I'm not against Natalya winning via DQ either. Like, just a sharpshooter on the outside. What I would have preferred, though, is this match to go like 10 minutes, at least 10 minutes. And Natalya and Ember Moon are both kind of baby facing it up. Yeah. They have a really good showing. And then you're like, oh, I want to see them both fight for the titles independently. Natalya just sort of snaps at the end. And that's when she gets the sharpshooter DQ loss. Like, well, it was a double count out in the end. Is how the match actually finished. And then Bayley walks down and helps up Moon, but then Moon like shoves her off, and that's how you build that story. That's how I would have done it. I'm not against the matchmaking at all. What I am against is them making the match, it going 30 seconds, and then it just finishing with the Natalya DQ. Or sorry, the double count out.
I just, as soon as this match started, I was like, well, we're not going to get a clean finish, which is going to be unsatisfactory to the audience. And it's not going to make either of them look good. And it didn't. And neither of them looked good coming out of this. Particularly Ember Moon, who I thought looked pretty rubbish.
Yeah. She got the worst deal. Yeah.
She really did, because she essentially got laid out by Natalya and then helped up by the person she's facing for the title this coming Sunday. And it's just, that's 2 weeks in a row now. You went from her laying out Charlotte Flair and Bayley on her own, and she outsmarted Bayley in the process, to then being beaten by Alexa Bliss for no reason whatsoever, and then being effectively beaten up here. So she looks crap going into her title match this Sunday. I'm not sure how you could possibly care about these two fighting, other than they're both great wrestlers and they should have a really good match. And the story they've told around this has been absolutely awful.
Yeah. Then we got the KO show with special guest Shane McMahon.
This picked me back up on the show. I was really down on SmackDown at this point, but this really picked me back up.
When Shane McMahon came down, I thought, God, I haven't missed you. Like, he was on all the segments for months.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, I have not missed Baron Corbin either. It was just like that's nice.
Well, wait till he comes back, around. Then you might have missed him.
Yeah, when he comes back. But, you know, I've had my dose of Baron Corbin for the year, really. But Shane McMahon comes down and he makes Greg Hamilton do the best in the world. But KO grabs the mic off of Greg. And KO just effectively challenges Shane to put his career on the line too.
But, and I love this, Shane just looked at me and was like, why?
Yeah.
Why would I do that? I've got no reason to do it, so... No. And it was great. I thought it was really, really smart stuff from Shane. But crucially for me, it plants the seed that Shane's career could be put on the line at some point, which is something the fans want to see. I thought it was a really, really smart bit of just like, here's a little seed, here's a little bit of nugget. This could happen at some point. It's not going to happen now, but it could happen soon. And I thought it was really smart stuff.
And Shane also listed all the ways he can beat KO. Like, why would I put my career on the line? I'm going to beat you. I could beat you with a submission. I could beat you on a pin.
No, he said, I could beat you with the most devastating submission, the triangle chokehold.
And then he said, very interestingly, I could beat you if you get yourself DQ'd.
Mm.
And then, like, it's... I mean, really, like, Elias could just run in, punch Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
And then KO's got to quit.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what happened here. KO said Shane doesn't have any balls and then dropped his mic like that was a big thing. It didn't really land.
Well, I think in the McMahon world, that is the big thing. Ooh. That's the biggest insult is you don't have the balls.
The size of grapefruits. And Elias jumped in, hit KO, but they brawled outside. Owens stunners Elias on the desk. But then Shane gets on top. He's beaten on Owens and devastatingly... crushes none of Kevin Owens under the commentary desk.
Well, no, but I thought the steel chair to the face was cool. He then put a steel chair over Owens' face and hit a running drop kick into it. Wasn't quite like a Chris Sabin hesitation drop kick. It was, more of a sliding with style.
Sweaty slide.
He just said, whoa! But I really liked this. I liked everything about this segment. And I thought it was, and this was in, there was not a lot to say about this on the show, but it was a hot go-home angle for the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And they saved the biggest one till last.
Yeah, because I sort of was into Owens potentially losing there. Like, the way Shane stood on top at the end, I don't think that made Owens look weak at all.
Yeah.
It was a two-on-one disadvantage. And now I am worried that he will lose.
I think he will.
Yeah.
Spoiler for my predictions tomorrow, but I think that Shane's picking up the win.
Then we got Sami Zayn coming out, which was kind of laughable because So Zane's not friends with Owens anymore.
One of their face and heel now, so they can't be friends anymore.
But there was never any on-screen breakup between the two.
No, but you're not meant to remember that.
Sammy comes
out. It's like Goldberg returning for the Super Showdown.
And he cuts an in-ring promo about challenging Aleister Black.
He said Black's not accepted his challenge yet. Mm. And lists the reason why. But then Aleister Black's music hits. And I was like, awesome. This is very cool. Because either we're getting the match set up for SummerSlam or they're going to have the match now, which you and I have talked about a lot of times in this show.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing. Like, you build these storylines on TV, and then you have the payoff on the go-home show to try and get people excited about other potential feuds ending at the pay-per-view. So I thought this was a big thumbs up. The problem is that Aleister Black cut his promo from his, like, creaky little door entrance thing, and it looked stupid.
I just feel like WWE, it's a problem that WWE think they can put a camera anywhere.
Even on the front of a car.
Like, some camera positions look stupid. And yeah, this was one of them. I've seen a few people online say it was good, but only from a goofy way. Like, oh my God, I love pro wrestling. That was so silly.
Yeah.
I respect Black's seriousness a bit more than that to get a goofy kick out of this segment.
Yeah, that works if it's our truth.
Yeah.
But it's Aleister Black. You're meant to be taking him seriously. Like, if The Fiend had done it, then you'd be like, well, now The Fiend looks a bit goofy.
Exactly. But Black then came out, and yeah, they had the match right now, which is great because that means it's not on SummerSlam. SummerSlam can be a bit shorter, or at least give some of the other matches on there a bit more time. And then it went straight into an ad break.
Yeah.
Like, as the bell rang, which was, I was so excited to see Black wrestle because they've done a good job at holding that back.
Yeah.
And then it went straight to an ad break. I'm like, ah.
It's the double-edged sword of the idea that you and I have talked about many times on this show of doing these matches on the go-home show to try and build some interest into SummerSlam, that being a good thing. The other side of that sword, though, is if this was on pay-per-view, it would have been a better match.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would have enjoyed the match a lot more because you're not doing a TV match, you're doing a pay-per-view match. And yeah, as you said, like, the ad break thing is part of the problem of that.
And it comes back, and it's not that
long
after.
Should have been 2 out of 3 falls. Hmm? Should have been 2 out of
3
falls.
Yeah, restart the match. Yeah, they come back and Sammy's on top, but Black hits a high knee, Black Mass for the win. So Black Mass still looks awesome.
Yep.
Black won again. That's great. But it wasn't super amazing.
No.
Yeah.
Shelton Benjamin's back doing his creepy staring gimmick. Possibly going to be inserting himself into the 24/7 title picture.
That's what he was asked about. And he looked around with his cheeky eyes and then went, well, and then walked off. I like it more when he's animated sliding off.
Yeah. I don't know. I do you know what? I mean, I literally have zero opinion on it.
I forget that it's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it comes back, and I'm like, I still have no opinion on it.
After this, we got the Firefly Funhouse.
Well, before that, New Day.
What did I miss?
New Day were walking backstage, wasting water for fun.
Oof.
And it was Big E just opening up bottles of water and just pouring on himself another plastic bottle of water, pouring on himself another one. And Woods is there just handing him these plastic bottles of water. And I thought, there's a reason why Daniel Bryan hates you guys.
Yeah.
Because, and honestly, I'm with Bryan.
Yeah. Yeah, run people over. Yeah. Drop set pieces of set on them.
Man, that was Rowan.
After that, we got Firefly Funhouse, which was Huskus the Pig Boy, which is the pig puppet of the gang, gorging himself on sweeties and chocolates.
It's candy from our American viewers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no sweeties over there.
No, dude. No,
and
absolutely not.
And Bray Wyatt comes over and just talks about how he loves how Finn isn't afraid of anything, but it's really just ignorance. And then we get a few Fiend shots. Let me in. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more of the Mr. Rogers facade falling apart under the weight of the Fiend. Like, the Fiend persona just sort of taking over. He wants to be more of that Mr. Rogers, but the Fiend persona is a much weightier personality trait for him.
Mm.
I think it's cool stuff, man. I think it's just the most engaging character in WWE. It's the most compelling character in WWE. And I cannot wait to see Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor at SummerSlam.
Has The Fiend been on SmackDown?
No.
Is The Fiend drafted to Raw?
Was he there last week?
And
he
Bray
came out on
Wyatt.
Stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Balor versus someone? Dolph?
Dolph, because yes. Dolph got a win.
Okay. My wild card idea was thwarted there. I'm really excited about it too. Of all the angles, they haven't really built a Finn Balor match. It's not about Finn Balor.
It's not.
It's about the Fiend's first in-ring appearance.
Yes.
As an actual match. If it was the Demon versus the Fiend,
bigger deal.
Yeah, they should have built a much bigger thing around this.
We could have had him dressed as a pumpkin again.
2K20 trailer again.
Yeah. What do you think? Because we haven't spoken about this yet. What do you make of it?
I think it's I think the problem is twofold. WrestleVote said it was going to be this amazing trailer.
Yeah.
And it is a pretty good trailer. And I do like, as on the nose as it is, Becky Lynch crashing through the glass ceiling, seeing all the legends, sort of gate crashing the party. That is cool. But I thought it would have been better. You know, like, it's not Sting level or Goldberg level. Those are incredible trailers. And it feels much more bigger budget as well. The other thing is, just go with Becky Lynch. The sort of addition of Roman Reigns there just feels, we want to put you on the front, but we actually don't believe in you.
Oh, that's totally it. It's like, yeah. We want to put you on the front, but you're not a man. You're the man, but you're not an actual man, so we can't put you on the cover alone.
Yeah, and we don't have faith that people will buy the game. Absolutely, if you're just on it. Yeah. Which is a shame. Like, you'd expect them to be braver. Also, I think the narrative of that promo should then be Lynch beats up a load of guys. She beats up Hogan. She beats up Braun Strowman. Because that's part of the magic of the video game thing. You can have female characters beating up the guys.
No, you can't.
You not?
No. You can't do intergender matches, I don't think.
Can you not?
I don't think so.
They just had a freaking Facebook series about intergender matches.
Yeah, but the men can't fight the men and the women can't fight the women. Sorry.
You've done that.
I've done the wrong way around. Men can't fight the women and the women can't fight the men.
Oh, well. Well, that would have been a great feature reveal.
Perhaps.
Just have everyone fighting everyone. It's a video game.
Yeah, but you got to take this serious, though, haven't you? I thought it was fine, I guess. I thought it was funny watching Becky Lynch approach stand-ins and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But it was... Maybe it's just I'm not hyped for the game, because then they showed footage of the game and I was like, oh, it looks exactly the same as the last 5 2K games, and I didn't like any of them.
Give me a bobblehead, then we're talking.
Now we're talking.
Chad Gable's backstage next, looking so good in his new hair.
Yeah, didn't recognise him at
really
first.
Looks really smart. Looks like he's been on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just stretching with a band, and Elias walks over and tells him he's rubbish for being short.
Well, yeah, he put his weight stuff... I don't know what the stuff is. He put the weight thing down.
It's a resistance band, I think.
He put that down.
Yeah.
Whatever that does. He put one of them down. And then Elias said, you're a chump. And Chad essentially went, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elias said, well, I'm tall and you're short. And therefore, you are rubbish. And I'm like, God's sake. How many more times are we going to get the I am tall, you are short storyline? There are 2 inches between them. Elias is not exactly like towering over him. Like, they were basically eye to eye.
Yeah.
So the tall, short storyline really falls apart. And I just... How lazy can you get in order to do this storyline again?
Well, it's obviously one of Vince McMahon's go-to templates. So he's just fallen back on this. Like, that always has to be a feud going on somewhere. And for everyone who's excited, oh, Chad Gable might be getting a push out of this. This might be the start of something. I'm afraid, historically, you're wrong. Because if WWE book you in a storyline where it's based about you being short or lacking in charisma, those never turn out well for those people. Even though the story should be, they get over the charisma and they prove that they do. Or, I defeat being vertically challenged and I can beat you anyway. Never happens.
Was Daniel Bryan more over after the big Cass feud?
No.
If anything, it hurt him.
But it looks like that will be a feud after SummerSlam, potentially.
Cool.
Then we got... Do you want to talk about this? Because you seem way down on this.
I'm not way down on it. I thought it was a good promo. Mm. Like, Kofi cut a return promo on Randy Orton that he cut last week. A, it wasn't as good as Randy's promo.
No.
wasn't as good as Randy's promo, but I liked some of the things that he said. He goes, there were rumors that Randy used his influence to keep me down, but I worked hard to get this point. I can show what a true inspiration has been, and I'm using my influence to pick people up. And I thought, that's actually some really good lines there. That's really good, and I've enjoyed this promo. It's just not a go-home promo.
Yeah.
And it's just, it seems to be a common occurrence in Kofi Kingston feuds. You're not important. Doesn't matter you're WWE champion. You're not the most important thing on this show. And your feuds don't really matter. And we're not going to give you the big hot go-home angle. Doesn't matter who you're facing. It's like Dolph, Joe, all of the feuds he's had, now Randy, have all had lame go-home angles that are actually nothing. They're not even angles.
Mm.
So it feels to me that it's so unimportant for SmackDown at the moment that the WWE champion has a match on Sunday.
Yeah, of all the matches and storylines, it's probably, you know, fourth on the pecking order. Owens McMahon is bigger than this.
Yep.
Reigns versus Bryan, not even a match on Sunday.
Way bigger.
Trish and Charlotte.
Yeah, at least they got an in-ring segment together. With some altercation. Finn versus The Fiend. Finn versus Finn.
Fiend versus Finn. All of those things. So I really liked this interview format. Makes it feel more serious. Feels like there's a lot of context there because this is stuff they're playing off of that was 10 years ago. And I agree the autumn one was better, but I'm glad Kofi got a chance to answer it. But yes, have these two play out a week earlier have an actual hot go-home angle.
This is 2 weeks ago. They need, and you look back at the angles that those two were doing in 2009, they were like big-time backstage angles. They were doing like big feud stuff.
Yeah.
And here, they've done is they've just said some words at each other, and now they're having a match. And it doesn't feel like Randy's that bothered by it.
Yeah, and that because the main event was a tag match without the titles on the line,
and it went through two ad breaks.
So it just feels like the balance is off there, and it didn't even really have a go home angle. It was just like a cliffhanger angle that didn't really sell a match. But this New Day versus Bryan and Rowan match was very, very good.
This really, to me, backs up the reports that Vince rewrote the entire show 2 hours before it happened, because this was just like, and the main event's a tag match, just go through two commercial breaks, just go out there and just fill for time. I haven't got time to rewrite the whole thing, just fill for time. And do you know what? I'm not going to complain, because this was very, very good stuff. Despite its lame finish, it was really good.
The Meltzer tweeted about an hour before the show went on air. I think it was Alvarez. A few hours before the show went on air.
As well. Yeah. He backed up the report.
Unless Vince changes his mind in the next 90 minutes, it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston as the main event tonight. It's already been torn up once. And then we get a tag match. Yeah. So he did change his mind. But I think, you know, the Kofi-Bryan match would have been better to build Kofi versus Randy, Bryan versus Roman. That makes more sense. So although this was a very good match, because you just put three very talented guys and Daniel Bryan in the ring. I'm being facetious, of course. I mean, Rowan is the other one.
I was going to say, you did say that we're building towards Roman versus Bryan, but we're actually building towards Roman versus Rowan.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
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 Quite clearly. But they just put those guys in there to have a good match. Really, this was a bit of a schmoz.
Oh, yeah, totally. Because the schmoz, like, New Day sort of had the match won on a couple of occasions, and then Rowan picked up the steel stairs and he hit Xavier Woods for the DQ. Bit of a shame. And then Bryan and Rowan laid out New Day afterwards, but still no career-altering announcement from Bryan. But that's probably due to the Roman Reigns thing that ended off the show.
Yeah. Yeah, they've obviously changed their minds about what that announcement was. I don't think these two were ever connected.
No.
Especially with the reports that it could have been a 205 Live move.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they've called on that or whether that was ever even a plan.
I just think that this is... I mean, Ryan Satin's reporting that Bischoff still has no creative influence on the show. I mean, Meltzer reported that he's actually not going to have any creative influence on the show. He's just there to be a go-between between WWE and whatever TV network they're currently on and the sort of all the departments. But yeah, Ryan Satin saying that Bischoff's still not involved in the creative process. And if Vince is just rewriting the shows hours beforehand, and I just think it kind of shows, because these last couple of weeks of SmackDown have been quite lackluster and a bit thrown together and a bit slapdash.
Mm. But not bad.
Not bad.
Just like when you realise that this wasn't the show as it was originally planned to be, to tell long-term stories, you're like, it's all a bit superficial.
Yeah, a show that had been written for the last 7 days, where a group of writers have been working on this for 7 days, only for Vince to go like, no, I'll just rewrite the whole thing in 2 hours. Which kind of renders those days pointless.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad show. It's just not at the level SmackDown was 3-4 months ago. You know, SmackDown, like, the first half of this year was so, so good. Like, pre-WrestleMania was just every single week was, like, one incredible episode of TV. One amazing episode of television.
Well, The Miz is on Raw now.
That's how it is. Yeah. And you're right, actually, in the last couple of weeks of Raw. I mean, I didn't see
brilliant.
Didn't see last night's, but I've heard it was very good.
Mm. I'd give SmackDown a 3 out of 5, I would say.
Yeah, I gave it low SmackDown.
Yeah. So let's get on to your super chats to see what you thought.
Right, we've got a lot to get through. So here we go. Nikhail Biznath says, greetings from South Africa. First ever super chat to WrestleTalk.
Oh, cheers, thank you very much for watching.
Brock Batty comes in. So these are the super chats I've heard so much about. Hey, hashtag Potswaf Nation. P.S. Luke, did you get my email regarding Natty versus Becky? Brock Batty was the name?
Quite possibly. Yes, I did. Yes, it was called SummerSlam 2019 Conspiracy.
The super chats are universally loved by all versions of
certainly
this,
going by the pod poll.
Consuming this.
Yeah.
Small Afro Games, a.k.a. Jaron Walker, says, hope you guys like the project I did. We do. Flying to Toronto Saturday morning for the four shows.
Lucky.
If there's any BTS news, I'll let you know just like Mania.
That's Ab Man, Jaron Walker. We've got an exciting project. Hopefully we can get underway soon.
Yes, very, very much looking forward to that. Might be something we're doing after this stream, maybe, Pete?
No.
Maybe probably not.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a busy week. It's a busy time to start something else.
We got one from Sparks that says, I'd love to see Braun show up in the Lesnar match and just outright destroy Brock to set up a feud, and Seth can win the title. Regardless, Brock can't win.
I think if Seth's going to win, he's got to win on his own.
Yeah, well, I think Brock's going to retain. So.
Rex Joseph Calmerin says, Dolph's beautiful hair is back.
Oh, it is.
It is stunning.
Oh, yeah.
I want to stroke it.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it's still warm from the straightener.
Silk Toast says, do you think WWE could do stories in a way, top guys week one, mid cards week two, tag teams the next, won't see the same guys every week, and long term stories?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So like one episode of Raw would just be based around your Universal Championship, then the next week you'd do an episode based around the IC title and tags, so on and so forth.
Not when it's a 3-hour show.
No.
No, I think you should have variety, but you should cycle people in and out to not overexpose people, but don't focus in on one thing for a whole episode.
Keeping Baron Corbin off TV for the last month has been very good news for Baron Corbin.
Marcus Roman has a great one who says, Kofi hasn't shown up with the New Day. Split?
Biggie's turning heel.
Yeah, we've got to get there eventually.
He was weirdly lacking from both Raw and SmackDown, actually, in the ring this week.
Oh, yeah?
Because New Day, he wasn't on Raw, but the New Day were. Same with SmackDown. Just felt it was weird that he wasn't.
That he was in ring. At a tag match.
Kofi didn't.
I thought you meant Big E.
Kofi.
I got really confused for a second. I was like, mate, we literally just talked about a match he had.
No.
We got one from Randy Andy Datsun.
What a super chat.
Yep. Who says, how are we going to do predictions with lots of matches yet to be confirmed? Also, what's a bonus question? Hashtag Randy merch.
We haven't thought about the bonus question yet, but also we don't know if those matches are going to be announced.
Yeah,
and to be honest, we'll never be able to get it right.
We'll just have to keep re-uploading the form if more matches are announced.
And the reason why we recorded last day is because Ollie Davis got the next couple of days off work.
Because I'm working all weekend.
I wasn't saying it. I was like, because you're slacking. I was just saying because
we're live streaming.
Exactly, we're working this weekend.
NXT TakeOver SummerSlam, join us.
Yeah.
Oh, can we say that?
No, is that going in Raw's?
No. It's something like that.
Yeah.
So, what should we say? Be there.
We got one from Tristan Thorne, who says, morning, fellas. My first ever Susu Super Chat, and I just wanted to say you guys do a fantastic job. Support WrestleTalk and love The Fiend.
Oh, yeah. Thanks very much.
Thank
we
you
love
very
the
much.
Fiend too.
Fiend's awesome.
AJ Lawrence says, who in WWE is most likely to wear a Weird Al t-shirt?
Oh, Weird Xavier. Al.
Yeah,
Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, he's got that sort of nerdiness.
Sorry, I thought you were telling me to say like Weird Al's in who's that? I was surprised. I was like, he'd be definitely on your radar.
Kevin comes in and says, so no Alistair versus Zayn, no Reigns versus Bryan, no tag title matches, no Drew versus Cedric. I'm so happy that this will be my first live pay-per-view in a long time. But you know, card subject to change, I guess.
Yeah, let's keep it at 10 announced matches.
Yes. Ooh. I think that's a good idea.
4 hours. It's still too long with a 2-hour pre-show. That's still 6 hours, but come on.
Yeah, we can do this.
Ryan B. Bad says, during WWE Backstage Exclusive, Bryan turned it into a media spin saying Murphy only named Rowan because Roman forced him to give up a random name.
Yeah, but that's WWE.com and doesn't count.
We got one from longtime Patreon backer Lendl Brentson, who says, today is my birthday, so my gift to myself is a gift to you, so here's some money.
Hey!
Happy birthday, Lendl.
The All-Star.
Ryan B. Bad again comes in and says, Charlotte was not a good promo, was way too stiff. I thought Trish's promo was better in that exchange.
Whoa. I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I think Charlotte's a very good promo, has been for a while now. Trish was so wooden.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you on this one.
Justin Anzaldua says, long live WrestleTalk and the Joe Buki Warriors.
As in
Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe's new tag team.
I said that yesterday. Yeah.
That's good.
Samoa Joe's, Joe Buki Warriors.
Joe Buki Warriors is good. Didn't we say like
Samoan Summit?
Yeah. Joman.
Joman. Yeah, there's lots. Steve Winyard says, scripted promos equals bad promos and wooden acting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The scripting definitely is the big problem.
Danny Trashman DeVito says, hello, lads. Long time no Susu Super Chat.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Nice to see you.
Oh, sorry, on that last topic as well, all of Kurt Angle's promos back in the day were scripted for him, word for word.
What? Exactly word for word?
Yeah.
Well, they just had better writers then.
Maybe that's what it is. Apparently Vince used to coach him through it as well. So maybe he hasn't got the coaching from Vince to be like, here's how you would need to say it.
I just think the house style of scripts has changed as well, because you would never go out and just say buzzword, buzzword, buzzword. You might a little bit, but it wouldn't be, you know, no one speaks like they do in real life now in WWE. And that's something that's changed in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Trish's delivery was bad, but the content was also really bad.
Yeah. I'm a mum now.
Graham Scrivener comes back in and says, SmackDown looked good today. Ziggler versus Ali, Zayn versus Black were good indeed.
I didn't see enough of them. Most of them were in the commercial breaks. I thought Raw had a much better in-ring wrestling show.
Ronce Rajan says, so feed Ray and Ali to Dolph to build him up to feed to Goldberg to feed to retirement? And you said they don't do long-term storytelling.
Wow. What, so Dolph is going to beat Goldberg?
No. What they're saying is you've got to sacrifice Ali and Ray to build Dolph so you can build Goldberg further.
Of course. I mean, when you put it like that.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
He's got a lot of mileage in it.
It just makes sense. Well, yeah, I mean, apparently the word is that this isn't retirement. We're going to be seeing a lot more of Goldberg, and when I say a lot more, I don't mean regularly. It's twice a year, I think, they're going to have big Goldberg matches. Heyman loves him.
Yeah. As do we.
Yeah.
Vandalia 1998 says, I remember them trying to do a Roman and Daniel feud for 1 month back in 2015. Hopefully this feud will be better than that one. Hell in a Cell conclusion, maybe?
Well, that feud was designed to make people like Roman. That worked.
Didn't he endorse him at the end? Like, Bryan was like, this is actually the guy.
Because essentially it was, we all wanted Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble, and Roman did. And so they were like, no, we'll book a feud where Roman pins Bryan as well. And then Bryan at the end lifts up his arm and says, he's the best. Mm. And the crowd did not buy it at all.
I think the heel face dynamics would be a lot better this time, because they were both babyface, but really it was heel. But yeah.
Jack Botterill says, hi guys, just became a pledgehammer.
Well, hey!
Did you know Goldberg was in Looney Tunes Back in Action? Hilarious. Keep up the great work.
I haven't seen it. Is it good?
I really like Looney Tunes Back in Action. There's a really funny scene where they're sort of walking through the cafeteria and Speedy Gonzalez and Porky Pig are sitting there chatting to each other because they're not allowed to be in the movie because they're racial. Like, well, one's a racial stereotype and the other one makes fun of speech impediments. And so they're basically talking about that's why they're not in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's Brendan Fraser, and Brendan Fraser's great. And he's a lot of fun. Maybe not as good as Space Jam, but, you know, few things are.
Yeah.
Vandalia 1998 is back again saying Shane versus Corbin for worst vortex of evil.
Yeah, and they can both lose and both quit.
Yeah.
Flawless. Alex Jordan says, I find myself really enjoying Ember Moon matches when they book her right. She deserves a respected title reign.
I think she deserves a respected anything.
Yeah. Yeah, she's so good when she gets going. Yeah. Like, because she's, I don't think she's got, she's the sort of character where she gets over in matches. Kind of like Jeff Hardy. Like, Jeff Hardy's a bit goofy if he's just left to promos and stuff. But you do get into him when he wrestles. And Ember Moon has a similar appeal.
Yeah, I think Ember Moon's awesome.
Kevin is back in saying, a bit of nitpicking. I wanted Bray to say the Fiend's opponent, Finn Balor, and not my opponent, because it always looked like Bray and the Fiend are two different entities, which builds the Fiend's character more IMO.
Yeah, that's I think that's a good point.
Yeah,
fair point, actually. I agree.
Foreskin Max says, I think that Dolph should have fully taken the piss. What wrestler's gear do you think smells the worst?
Oh.
I don't know if those two sentences are related.
Sweats the most? Shane McMahon? Shane McMahon's t-shirts. Like, yeah. That's all just going to stay in there.
I do remember watching, like, old WWF tapes and watching people, like, John Tenta get people in headlocks, and you just think, God, I bet you that smells. Oh, I bet you that is not a nice place to be.
Kevin comes back in and says, last Super Chat for today. Kofi's promo should have aired last week, and Randy's promo should have been this week.
Maybe. I don't think that matters so much. It's they both should have been
2 weeks
a week ago, and then you have an in-ring thing for this week.
Marcus Roman is back in saying, WWE, we'll give you what you want. AEW, hold my beer.
Yeah? Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Certainly
we've got
see.
A lot of expectation.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll certainly see.
Dan from Pensacola, Florida says, nope.
Come on, Pete.
Tristan Thorne says, who should The Fiend feud with after SummerSlam?
Good question.
Balor. Again.
Well,
Build to Fiend's demon.
Yeah, there was a... Balor's going to take some time off, isn't he? I think it'd be cool to have Balor out for a couple of months, really sell The Fiend's beatdown. There's reports that Kane is going to materialize. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for a quick thing versus thing, and Fiend squashes him.
It's the most WWE thing they could possibly do. It's just like, we've got a really hot act at the moment. Feud him with Kane.
Yeah,
hot,
yeah.
Yeah, right? That always works. It always gets people over.
Yeah, but who seriously, if it's not Balor or Kane?
That is a really, really good question. And I'm trying to think if it's someone who has almost been flattened out, so it doesn't matter too much if they lose. You don't want someone who's got too much potential momentum on their side. So you don't want to pick someone like an Andrade or a Cesaro or an Ali or something like that. I mean, Ali, right, really works. I mean, like Apollo Crews or something. I mean, it feels too like low league, but then Finn Balor doesn't exactly feel big time right now.
We got one from Gordon Maston, who says, hey guys, really happy with the channel. Been here for why? Does that mean like for years, I guess?
Since day Y.
Since day Y-ish.
Thanks for watching.
Day
Thank you, Ryan.
Y-ish, yeah. Tim Arndt comes back in and says, I know you only just put the poll up, but do you have any songs confirmed for the SummerSlam Punishment yet? I know my suggestion won't be in there.
Of the ones we've seen so far, I think John Cena's...
John Cena's Doctor of Thuganomics. Thug Life.
Word Life.
Bailey's theme with Bailey Sting is a very popular choice. It's been suggested 5 or 6 times now. Rollin' by Limp Bizkit.
That's a good one.
The one Billy Cunt. I've got it all. Shane McMahon, Here Comes the Money. X-Pac's X-Factor theme. Kazaninare.
We'll put our... Kazaninare is very good.
Yeah.
We'll put our top 5 on tomorrow's video for everyone to vote, and then the winner will get that.
Yeah.
Rocky Balboa comes in with a very generous donation saying,
you,
hey,
Rocky.
Luke, Ollie, and Pete, have you seen the WWE clip on the day of Raw reunion when John Cena asks if he can go to the Legends Lounge?
No, I haven't.
I have not. No.
I think it's like a behind the scenes, like making of Raw Reunion type thing, like a 24 type thing.
Oh yeah, they did the whole special, didn't they? I mean, that sounds like the sort of thing that would have been so entertaining. You should have put it on the actual show.
Rex Joseph Calmerin says, just realized there's no celebrity cameo this SummerSlam.
Ooh, good point.
So, no celebrity cameo?
Yeah, I can't think of anyone.
There'll be someone in the crowd.
You've got a lot of returning legends, though. So Goldberg and Trish Stratus together do make a celebrity cameo.
I suppose, yeah. Or maybe they'll get like a really famous Canadian to be in the front row. Mike Myers.
John Stewart might just cost whoever the main event.
Yep. Why not, hey?
I enjoyed that angle. And finally, it's Leslie N. Arthur Schlemmer dos Santos and Andre Barnes. Thank you all for your donations, but with no messages.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
Essentially, the yeses won. It was like 66% to 34%. And you described that as a landslide.
I would say, yeah, if that was in politics, I would say that would... I think Tony Blair's victory, which is renowned as a landslide in the mid-90s, 97? I want to say 96? Can't remember. That was called a landslide, and I think it was a similar margin.
Mm. Well, we've had a lot of feedback on this in terms of people getting in touch on Twitter to say that, hey, not all of us hate Super Chats, we just dislike them. Some people saying to keep them. David Blacker's email said, the problem with the Super Chats is the WrestleTalk team react to every single one. If Chopper read through them quicker, Chopper, and only stopped if the chat asks a genuine question or gets a reaction from you, then it would be we could get through the rubbish ones quicker and maybe not get a reaction. That's from Diamond Dallas Dave. Any thoughts on that one? I'm now coming to you for a reaction, which is actually what Dave doesn't like us doing.
Well, what we were taught, maybe, so... I think the fan feedback portion of this debate has come to a close. That does not mean we will reach a decision, though, because we're now talking about a few other things, about how we can make it. Someone did bring up a week ago or so about the curation of the Super Chats.
Yes.
And we were like, but we don't want to miss out some. But then, you know, there's another way where using Streamlabs, we can just put some of the comments, because some comments aren't questions.
No.
They're just like, here's an opinion I have.
Boom. And there are some times where people are trying to make jokes that don't make us laugh. And then it is a bit awkward because we're just going, huh.
Yeah. So what we could do is those appear on screen as text, like they pop up as a graphic, but we won't actually verbally address them. And then Chopper Pete can curate the best ones and we can spend more time on those discussion points. Hopefully it's a bit... Hopefully we get the best of both worlds. That's one idea. That's where I'm leaning towards at the moment. If we can make the technology side of it work.
Absolutely, yes. But also, thank you to Jesse for sending in your feedback. Thank you to Dylan for sending in your Super Chat feedback. Thank you to Bryn, who messaged about the best iTunes review ever, which is the one I think you read out.
Read out yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Krinius emailed in on the iTunes follow-up as well, but I also wanted to read this one because this really made me laugh. You know how we were joking last week that the opening up this forum to people saying, do you want the Super Chats, yes or no, essentially just let people say, this is what I hate about the podcast and I would like you to change.
Mm.
And it was from everything from the intros are too long, the outros are too long, I hate the iTunes reviews, don't like the intro music. Also had this in from Luke Chador, who says, hello Luke, Ollie, Pete, Laurie, and most certainly not that bastard Blake Ham. So many members of the WrestleTalk universe are sending in their emails about the Super Chat debate. One thing though that I think almost every member of the WrestleTalk universe can agree on is the transition music in the podcast. The Diggity Dog transition music may be nostalgic and remind you of the quote glory days of wrestling, such as WWF No Mercy. It was from WWF No Mercy. But to me, the song just serves as a rather hideous piece of audio that serves no purpose other than to get a cheap pop from the WrestleTalk universe. I really wish you'd stop using that phrase, though. I think that something that could be pretty neat is if you guys host some sort of competition for members of the WrestleTalk universe to make their own transition music.
Hey, didn't we do... We did this a while back. We asked for jingles.
We did. And we had a few people get in touch, but they weren't really what we were looking for. Essentially, what I was after is something that's better than Diggity Dog, and nothing is going to be better than Diggity Dog.
Yeah. Well, if anyone ever wants to send in a jingle to pitch to us, we are more than open to that. If you watch
OllieArrittleTalk.com.
Oh, damn it. We are very open to it, because if you watch ScreenStalker, that's half of our mental energy making those shows goes on, how are we going to do a silly jingle for this next piece?
Oh, yeah.
I got me and Simon, housemate Simon. Do go and watch today's episode, actually, folks, on ScreenStalker, because there's this fascinating story about Ukes splitting with 2K. They're going to make their own wrestling game. And housemate Simon just happens to know everything about 2K and wrestling video games. He was just, by chance, playing No Mercy last night.
Oh, yeah.
So he went in depth on all of that and what he thinks is going to happen and why it might have, you know, why they might have split. I've forgotten my original point. Ah, the jingles. So we come on to the end bit, and it's we're talking about Disney and the X-Men and the Fox acquisition finally going through. Da-da-da-da-Disney. 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 And the X-Men.
Da-da.
What a theme tune that was.
What an absolute tune. We actually watched like a half-hour video on the making of that, didn't we?
And it's fascinating, that video, yeah.
It really is. Also, thank you to this email who said, thank you for listening to your audience so much that you want an international mail solution to give depressed SWAF nations professional address to help. Remember, we were talking about doing something in association with Mind, but they're a UK-based thing. We were assuming we could find a worldwide one. This person says, currently two friends of mine battle depression, and I also lost an uncle to it. So helping you is extra special and important. Unfortunately, due to different international laws, a service like that is not possible from what I've learned.
Right.
He said they're going to keep their eyes and ears open, though.
Maybe we just have to partner with two of them, one that's UK, one that's US.
But then are we just ignoring everyone else?
That's a shame, yeah, because we've got a big Australian
conspiracy.
Europe,
yeah.
Canada.
I said conspiracy because I just read it on screen, but I meant to say contingent.
Canada is the United States, isn't it?
Well, it's North America.
It's
where Daniel Bryan's from.
It's a state. Canada is a state of the United States.
Thank you to everyone who has sent emails. And unfortunately, we're going to have to cut this a bit short, though, because we need to go live on air. But we've got some thank you emails that we want to read out on tomorrow's episode, possibly. Or, I mean, I'm not having a Saturday episode this week, are we? Because it's SummerSlam weekend.
It's a live stream.
It's a live stream weekend. So make sure you watch us when we do... When we watch SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver Live, what a terrible outro this is, because I moved my chair and I've now forgotten how words work. We're going to be live streaming our reactions to SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver Toronto even. So join in on that. Unfortunately as well, we haven't got time for any iTunes reviews. Did we have any come in?
Yeah, really good one. It's okay, I'll get to it.
We'll get to it, don't you worry. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the NXT review. Take care, I love you, goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.